The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We are here on earth for a plan and a reason. Have your seats. Dominion is our call. One of rats that run in a hopeless race. We are lions in a winning race. We have power over all the powers of the enemies. The devil's a defeated foe. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Come drinking the waters of life. The word of the Lord is a weapon, my friend. And of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Because the word of the Lord will not fail. Until she looks.
What I'm trying to show you is this. I don't want to, you know, we're teaching church. I don't want you to be too teaching conscious. They are no longer power conscious. The people you learn, people will read about, maybe like Kenneth Hagin, you like his teachings. That man was one of the biggest demonstrators of the power of God. Have you watched Kenneth Hagin before? See meetings. And so, your excuse of, man, I'm not into all this power thing. I just want the word. You don't even want anyone. That's the problem. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to pray very, very soon. That's how the meeting will be going. So yes, I was showing you that we need that power demonstration. Because there is a devil we are condemning against. You know, 1 John 3 verse 8, Bible tells us, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he will the works of darkness. That's 1 John 3 and verse 8. And so the reason, so for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he may destroy the work of darkness, works of the devil. So notice the reason, one major reason why Jesus is on earth, and when I mean on earth, I mean still living in us, is to put out works of darkness. That includes the salvation of men, but that also includes wickedness in different places. Sicknesses, diseases that ravage people and ravage families. Jesus was manifested for this purpose, that he might bring an end to those things. And that's why we exist. I told you yesterday that is the influence of Babylon on the earth. Jeremiah 51 verse 1 talks about Babylon. You know, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, the destroying wind. So he was talking about Babylon. Well, Babylon is a nation, a physical nation, right? I was writing about. However, there are some nations in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that yes, they were discussed, you know, they also have spiritual implications. So this prophet was directed at the physical Babylon. But Babylon was more than a physical city. And can I prove that to you? Yes, I can prove that to you. Before I show you, go to verse 13. I will just show you from this same Jeremiah 51. He said, oh, that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thy end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. So he said, Babylon dwells upon many waters. What does that even mean? By the time you get to Revelation 17, verse 1, Brother John begins to explain what that means. He said, and there came one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will shew thee the judgment of the great hall that is seated upon many waters. The same thing about Babylon. He says, how are you sure about Babylon? You will see surely. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I see a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names, blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed with purple, or arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written. What's the name? Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So yes, there's a physical city called Babylon, right? But that name in Bible terms, in Bible, you know, literature, actually means more than just a city. Just like when you read about Jezebel. Jezebel was a person, a physical woman. But her name means more. Because by the time you read Revelation, you see the Bible talk about Jezebel. Jesus was commending one church in Revelation and told them, you guys are good, but my problem is that you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. So what you see as false prophecy, all these prophets parading with diabolic powers and strange powers, that is the spirit of Jezebel at work. Are you following me? And talking about that, so when you look at Babylon, Babylon controls quite a number of things. Bible talks about immorality. In fact, idolatry particularly. Idolatry is being controlled by all these people. I'm going back to idolatry. That's the spirit of Babylon at work. I get what I'm saying. Give me Revelation 14. Revelation 17. Go to verse 15. Let me show you this. Let me just show you this. Verse 15. He said, and they said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are what? Peoples and... So when he said Babylon sits upon many waters, he's not trying to say that it's a marine spirit. That's not the point. Are you following me? John was seeing a vision. In his vision, the woman was sitting upon many waters. So the vision was explained to him that when you saw that woman upon many waters, that water presented people. So you notice this demonic spirit is on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Are you following me? So it's that spirit that casts our influence over people, over nations. So you see idolatry, you see fornication, you see immorality, you see perversion. Bible says she had a cup full of abominations. Perversion, homosexuality, transgender, all those perversions. That's the spirit of Babylon at work. Are you following what I'm talking about? Yeah. Even bestiality. And we should be careful, because where we are going to, if we are not careful, in the next couple of years, the way we are battling homosexuality, we will battle bestiality in the next couple of years. You know what bestiality? Man having affairs with an animal. And you say, no, it's not possible. It's already happening in some parts of the world. But you see, with the way, I have nothing against it, I'm just telling you, speaking my spirit, with the way pets are being inculcated into everyday life, we are getting there. People now marry goats. And really, I know someone that married a goat. So we are getting there. And you can imagine what level of perversion is that. You see, that's how I was created. I've never felt anything for a human being. But when I see goats, I can't resist it. Goats, dogs. Well, that's perversion. You know, somebody was asking me recently, I think it was Priscilla that was asking me, is there a place in the Bible where the Bible said this, Jesus paid for this sin, that sin? And I told her, I said, Jesus paid for every sin. There are some things that Paul cannot mention in the Bible because he never even knew it could ever happen. Paul would have never imagined that a time will come in this world and a man will change himself to become a woman. Even Paul is shocked. I'm sure whatever Paul is like, Paul would have imagined that one day Malu will become somebody's wife. No, Malu. cow. Malu. So even him is, so he can't even record it in the Bible because it has never crossed his mind. And that tells you, he says, and why are there many sins? Well, I think I explained that to you at Razor Facts a bit last year. The human nature keeps degenerating. In the next 10 years, you will see more sins, more unthink. If you tell my father that somebody is transgender, he will never believe. It is not possible. The human nature keeps degenerating. I get what I'm saying. Keeps getting bad. And there are demonic forces that ensure that these thoughts are planted in the hearts of men and executed upon the earth. And we're talking that, well, an example is what I'm showing you. Say, the woman sits upon many waters. And before you think he's talking about the vanity, he said, those waters that you saw is people, men, tribes, nations, countries, cities. Are you following me? Give me Revelation 14, verse 8. Let me just say a few things about this. Because I want to show you why we need so much of power demonstration now. Because there is a stupid devil on rampage. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Shout amen. Amen. Babylon is fallen. It's fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication in this context is not talking about sex or anything. No. Give me Amplified Classic, because I'm trying to send a message. It says, the other angel, the second followed, declaring, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink of the maddening wine of her passionate unchastity, idolatry. So the force at which you are returning to idolatry, there is a spirit controlling those things. People are saying, go back to your roots. People are not normal. Are you getting the point? Let me say this to you. The average Nigerian or Igbo man, I'm an Igbo man, who is not committed to church is practicing idolatry in one word or the other currently. They either into it fully or they go there to ask questions. You know what I mean? To go and inquire. Or they go there to find out what killed their father. Or they go there to talk to their late mother. Or they go there to collect protection. In one way or the other. Observe what I'm saying. Except that come to the church. Something. So there is a strong pull. And these are not ordinary things. So that woman, that demonic spirit has made all the air drunk with the wine of her fornication, her idolatry. If I take the step further, I will show you Revelation 18, verse 1. John said a few about this particular stuff. Said, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen and is become the habitation of devils. And the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. He said, for all nations have drank of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of delicacies. You see, this thing that is dragging many young people into money, Yahoo, internet fraud, is this same power you're contending with. You know, people think they are normal. Bible said, the matters of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of our delicacies. So all this quest for money, that is what is doing. And that is actually ravaging the world today. And so when you get out there to do ministry, you are contending against something very serious. Not just people that love money, you are contending about spirits holding people hostage. Are you following me? That's why no amount of advice can stop a Yahoo boy from being a Yahoo boy. I get to the point. You show them facts. Sometimes you show them, if you did this Yahoo for the past 3 years, how much have you made? They are seeing the facts. So that's when you talk to them, they say, not true. This is what you talk, not true. This is what you talk, not true. When they leave, there is a compelling force. The only kind of advice that can help a Yahoo boy is when you are talking and your words are laced with the power of God. And he goes deeper than his mind and gets into his spirit. That's what I can help him. Because they are dealing with some strong stuffs. There are people I know that have been doing Yahoo for 5 years. They've not picked one naira, but they're still doing it. I'm not joking. No. One naira they've not seen. Some have seen $50, $53, $17. That's still doing it. Compelling force. You know, I tell the person, why not channel this thing into something useful? He say, not true. Even this Yahoo thing, nothing did it. That's true. And do you observe the partnership between quest to make money and idolatry? That's a strong partnership. So once that Yahoo thing starts, the next thing, you have to go to Aja. You have to see as the one. You have to. There is a partnership. I get what I'm saying. It's the same kingdom channeling what I'm telling you. There is no, and I say it because of my experience, there is no Yahoo boy who has not visited a witch doctor and one at least once. It's not possible. If you have not visited, you will not make money. Because, you know, the devil is, you might call the devil many things, you might call him mad, but you can't call him stupid. God is not very stupid. He is a very calculated devil. The first way devil is treated in the Bible is as a serpent. Corny, deceptive. So there's something he wants to achieve, but he first introduces, there's nothing there. Why not just, it's just about scamming one or two. It's not even scam. Do you understand? A woman said that our youths are collecting the money that the white people took from us. Pastor, why are you always talking about Yahoo boys? Talk about politicians that are eating our money. I'm not going to do that. Because there is no pollution in this church. We don't preach into the air. I get what I'm saying now. That's what these people doing in their churches are not necessary. You are in your church of about 50 people. We are all of them are students. They are saying, our government leaders are warning you. Who is hearing you? You don't preach into the air. If I'm sitting in church and I'm seeing one or two hours of assembly, I can say, you people are not doing well. But what am I seeing? I'm seeing young people who are, and I know the pressure out there. If you are not under pressure to do internet fraud, you are under pressure as a woman to use your body. It is the same spirit. Same spirit. And once you begin to sell your body, guess what happens again? The idolatry thing comes in the beginning, introduced to one or two things. Things that you can use your body, and when a man comes, he can never go. You know, there's a strong, are you following what I'm talking about here now? Strong partnership. So you begin to preach to someone about all these hookup things you are doing. The person is saying, chai, it's true. It's even dangerous, can even contact disease. Do you know sometimes I even go to see a man that I don't know from anywhere? Sometimes if I tell you the risk we take, you not tell the person stop, you say I will stop. This year I say it makes sense. When you are done, the next evening, the person is there. You are not contending with just a decision somebody made. Are you following I'm talking about? It's not just because I decided. I personally think that nobody can decide to be that stupid. Praise God. Yeah. But so I'm trying to show you we need power because as a devil on rampage. Do you know what was God's solution for dealing with this Babylon thing in the Old Testament? Jeremiah 51, verse 20. He told Israel, thou art my battle axe. With thee I will break in pieces the nations. The nations he's talking about here in context is that Babylon, because that's what he was talking about from verse 1. I will break in with thee, I will destroy kingdoms. Hallelujah. With thee, I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. With thee, I will break in pieces the chariots and his rider. With thee, I will break in pieces man and woman. I will break in pieces all that. With you, the key for this with you. You are God's strategy. But you can't just go. You have to go back by the path. Do you know, even the physical Babylon in the Bible, that land was humbled by some men and women, some men who knew and understood the power of God. People like Daniel. You know Daniel? Throw him into the lion's den, he will get in there and come out. Babylon believed. But Daniel wasn't a man you could play with. You know, the thing about Daniel, I keep saying, Daniel was not a prophet. As it were. Are you aware? What was Daniel? He was a slave that grew into politics. Later became a president. Read your Bible. Because the king later divided his kingdom into different segments and made them different presidents and then placed Daniel in charge of all the presidents. That was a regular politician. But he had something. You know, it was Daniel that told Nebuchadnezzar that he will eat grass. And he thought he was tailed by moonlight. He ate grass for a few years. Just a very short time. You know, there are things that when you see, hallelujah. That's why when Darius came and began to throw him into the lions, then if Nebuchadnezzar was there, would have said, leave that boy, you. Nothing is without, they are wasting your time. They go to that group, they put them in fire. They entered, had a nice time, came out. That was that kingdom. Do you know what Daniel did? Daniel was the man that the king saw a vision. He saw a dream, rather. And called Daniel to interpret. But did not tell Daniel the dream. Told Daniel to go and find the dream. When he finds the dream, he will now find interpretation. And I love Daniel's answer. He said, the Lord will prove to the king that there is a God in heaven. Look at me that verse. Daniel chapter. Give me that trick. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Where is Daniel again? After which book? After what? Revelation. You guys are Bible students. I'm so proud of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Give me that verse. The Lord will prove to the king. That's, I think, Daniel chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, verse 28. Okay, this is where he was. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyway, let's work with this verse. Then I told him, from verse 27, he said, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians. You know, he gathered, I'm talking about the power of God. The king gathered all astrologers, all magicians, all native doctors in town. He wanted one thing, tell me the dream and tell me the meaning. Because if I tell you the dream, you can forge meaning for me. So you tell me the dream. They couldn't answer. And in verse 28, he said to the boy, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Yeah, that's a God. So that was what they used to subdue the land. Power. So they so dealt with Babylon that before they became leaders. These were slaves. But they became leaders. So I'm trying to show you, when you go out there preaching the gospel, you are not contending with or just dealing with people. You are dealing with spirits too that manipulate the hearts of men. And so we need the power of God. We have it. But we must demonstrate it. We're also dealing with demons that have inflicted men with sicknesses, with curses, bondage. And that's why you cannot just do ministry ordinarily. If you get out there, you're going to see women who have not had babies and they've been married for years. Give them the gospel, let them be saved. But when you are done, please make sure you give them babies too. Are you following me? Yeah. You get out there, you see people that are struggling. Families in some sort of bondages. And an enemy has done this. Which is why we must do ministry with power. And not like ordinary men, not like mere men. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And like I've said, it will be a major answer to false prophets. It will be a major answer to, you know, the unbelieving and even the haters of the church. So every believer must contend for this. And I'm going to share just one or two things today that can help you. If you really want to get into what I'm saying. Some of them I've shared many times with you. But it bears repeating. One of them, for instance, is knowledge. If you are going to be someone that would demonstrate the power of God, you need to go for knowledge. Because most times, the missing link, remember I said yesterday by showing you that God has filled us with all of this. But there must be knowledge to even know that you have these things. You must, for instance, know who you are in Him. That's why one of the things I say to people is, you want to really flow in the power of God. You must read certain books. You must listen to certain tapes. Because sometimes people have fasted enough. The distance between them and what they're looking for is what they don't know. Are you following me? For instance, some of you need to know who you are in Christ. The fact that God lives in you, you need to know, for instance, your authority in Him. If you explain the authority of the believer to an average believer on the street there, he can go raise the dead. So you need to know. But that's the problem. Many of us don't even know. And what I mean you need to know, I mean, let me put it this way. Beyond what I'm saying in church, you must go further. That's why you must read books, you must listen, you must go. Because what I mean you need to know, I'm not saying you need to hear it. I say you need to know it. And it's beyond hearing it. It's beyond hearing it. Are you following me? And that's why a believer that does not invest in knowledge will not rise to the full potential of what God has put inside of him. Never. 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 A believer doesn't invest in knowledge. Who doesn't invest in knowledge? Who doesn't read his Bible, for instance? Who doesn't read books? Who doesn't listen to the right teachings back to back? Will never rise to the full potential. There are people here that, I always explain this, that have never prophesied in their life until we came and explained how to prophesy. And that explanation just sparked up everything. That's need for knowledge. Knowledge, for instance, of the name of Jesus. I'm giving you some things that you can, as we know, the name of Jesus. Do you know if you understand the power in the name of Jesus? You are this close to becoming a miracle worker. In fact, you're already a miracle worker if you understand the name of Jesus. Do you even know what the name of Jesus? Some of you think, the name of Jesus is what you use to open prayer and what you use to close it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what we understand the name of Jesus. But that's not it. To start with, the name of Jesus does not even refer to his nomenclature. Let me put it this way. The name of Jesus is not Jesus. Do you understand? When you hear the name of Jesus, you're talking about the name. So how do you know that? It's very easy to see. What name was Jesus given when he was born? What name did his mother call him? Are you for sure? What name did
Mary called Jesus.
Huh? Is it Emmanuel?
Okay. When the angel met Mary, what name did he tell Mary to call the child?
Give me Matthew 1 verse 21, because somebody say Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
And she shall bring forth a son. Go back to verse 20.
Verse 20. But why he thought on this? So who was thinking on this?
Joseph.
Because Mary had just told Joseph, I'm pregnant. And Joseph said, I'm going to pursue this woman. But while he thought on this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. So what name was he called when he was born?
Jesus.
I think it's very simple. Now, I want to show you, I want you to understand the name of Jesus. So he was called, so from birth, he was called Jesus, right? Now, Philippians 2. Let me show you. Philippians 2 verse 6. Or from verse 5. Say verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, what does wherefore mean? That's therefore, right? Therefore, God had exalted him and given him a name, which is, so when was he given the name of every name? Huh? Did you miss it? Go back to verse 8. Give me like New Living Translation. Let's read together. And died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore means because he died, Abby, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name. So when was he given the name above every name? Where he died and rose again. But what name was he called at birth? So what name was he given when he rose? Do you understand what I'm saying? What name was he? What is that name above every name that he was given? Okay, Christ. The point is, when you see name in the Bible, it's not talking about nomenclature. The Greek word is onoma. It talks about, you see, authority. It's just like when I say, I'm sending you in my name. I'm not saying you should go there and start shouting, my name is Henry. I'm sending you in my name. So when you say God gave him a name, it means God gave him an authority above every other. Do you understand? So when a believer now says, I pray in Jesus' name, it means I'm speaking in the authority of Christ. However this situation will respond to Christ, it will respond to me that same way. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's just like, I always give this example. If I send you now, maybe I'm meant to go do a donation somewhere, and I say, go standing for me, and you stand there, and you say, the governor, maybe I'm the governor, he says he's going to give 10 million. It doesn't concern you. Just make sure you and the governor agreed. That's why when we want to speak in the name of Jesus, we speak in accordance with his word. Whatever we find in his word, his authority will cover it. So when we meet a blind person and say, let your eyes open in Jesus' name. What we are saying is, in the authority of Jesus, let your eye open. That cannot fail anywhere. That's why I normally tell people, you can actually pray in Jesus' name without saying in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not saying you should not say in Jesus' name, right? But you can actually pray. For instance, I'm here now in the name of the Lord. Not because when I entered this door, I shouted, Jesus! No. I'm here in the name of the Lord because he sent me. I'm standing and speaking for him. That is you too. So when you stand before a cripple, that's why, that's why there are places you will see the apostles work miracles in the Bible, and you will not see them say in Jesus' name. I can show you a few. Of course, Peter used it where he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But there are some other places where he met Tabitha, some of them, they will just pray. They will just pray. Is it because they don't know that they say in Jesus' name? That's why when people say, which one is more powerful? In the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father and of the Son? Do you observe? I don't use that. I don't observe. I don't use that. I'm not against it. I'm just saying I don't use it. But that's something I know. The name of Jesus is the signature of the Trinity. I know it. That name of Jesus, when I come in the authority of Jesus, it is everything the Trinity stands for. Everything. I get what I'm saying. So people come and say, in the magnificent name of Jesus, in the bombastic name of Jesus, in the... I'm not saying it's bad. But all those shouting will not... All those names will not work if you don't understand what you're actually doing. It is the authority behind the name and not the name. So Jesus was not called Jesus as birth, and when he was born, when he now died and rose again, God let's say, you're no more Jesus. You are now Jesus. Or you are now... No, you are now Yeshua. You are Mashiach. Do you get the point? So when we say in Jesus' name, it's not talking about... It's not just about using it to open prayer or to close it. We are speaking in an authority. We are acting as a person. In Jesus' name is to act as Jesus. Come on. I get what I'm talking about. And so when I say, I come against you, devil, in the name of Jesus, he's not responding to me. He's responding to the name, that authority. So it was given to him at resurrection. What does that mean? Does it mean Jesus was not powerful when he was on earth? No. He was powerful. He was working miracles. But when he died, he received such authority that he could share with us. That's why before he died, in John, I think in John 16 or so, he told them, you've never done this before. Give me that verse. He said, you've not done this before. What was he talking about? They had never prayed in his name before. And that was very, first time I read that, I was shocked. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Have you found it? You've not done it. Ask in my name. Glory to God. It's taking time to be. Have you found it? Where is it? John 16, verse 24. Are we there now? So we even beat the media team to it. He said, he thought to have you asked nothing in my name. Give me an NLT of this verse. You haven't done this before. Do you know these people had gone around healing the sick? Are you following me? You don't just send them to go and heal the sick, to go and cleanse the lepers, to go and cast out devils. But he told them, you've not done this before. Ask using my name. He said, up till now, you've never used my name. But they went out doing stuff. Because at that time, he has not received that authority that he could share with us. Are you following what I'm saying now? Ask using my name and you will receive. He said, from now, from the time I die and I rise again, I activate something. You can now go to places and talk like me. You can now stand as me. You can now talk to mountains as me. You can now talk to devils as me. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name.
So if I'm praying to God and I say, in Jesus' name, God is treating the prayer like it is Jesus praying.
Are you following what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to show you that if we explain the name of Jesus to you simply and you understand it, you can even go there and raise the dead. Knowledge is important. That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm sharing with you changed my life. One of the books I read that affected me very well was In His Presence. Then, explain prayer. So that you realize that when you're standing, in Jesus' name, it's not about shouting Jesus, because, you know, I always joke with this. When they ask all these movies, they say Satan cannot say Jesus. Maybe in their kingdom, they want to say Jesus. He said, don't call that name here. Because they think that it's about the five letter J-E-S-U-S. It says David killed Goliath with five stones representing J-E-S. Who told you that? You don't even realize that Jesus in the Hebrew is not five letter words. It's Yeshua. It's six letters. David forgot one stone. Because the thing is about the name. What they don't realize is that even the name Jesus, anybody can bear it in Israel. Anybody. So when they told him, call him Jesus, right? Joseph did not say, sir, I've never heard that name before. It's a name they know. It's the name Joshua. Yeshua. Are you following me? So it wasn't about the name. It wasn't about the pronunciation. It was about an authority. Now, if I enter the kingdom of darkness and say Jesus, they will run. Not because of the five letters that I mentioned, but because I came in his name. Even if I don't say Jesus, as all of you, pack up now. They will pack up. I get what I'm saying? If I go there as me, I'm finished. But I go in his name. I say, all of you, pack your things. It's just like when you see, a good example might be, maybe not the best, but a good example, when you see all these tax, people that collect tax from shops and businesses, and they come in the name of the governor. Have you seen that kind of thing? And they just enter. People are running up and down. People are begging them because the governor has empowered them. Are you getting the point? So they don't need to come there and shouting, in the name of the governor, give me your tax. But they actually came in his name. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So when you say, let us pray in Jesus' name, it doesn't mean let us pray using Jesus to open it and using Jesus to close it. No. So then in the name of Jesus is not what we use to call people to order or to summarize prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' most excellent name we pray. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Give me another one. Immaculate name. In Jesus' sarcastic name we pray. It's not bad to use those things, but you must know what you are saying. The adjective you use to qualify the name is not as important as what you know. I feel what I'm saying. If you like, pack all the adjectives, but you still don't know nothing. In fact, I've shown you a place in the Bible where demons say the name of Jesus. Have I not shown you? The seven sons of Sceva came to cast out devil. They told the guy, Saul, Paul, I know. G, I can't say the name. They said, Jesus, I know. It's not about the five letter words. But who are you? The guy said, I come against the name of Jesus that Paul preached. Who is this one? The two names you mentioned, I'm familiar. I know Paul, I know Jesus. But you, I don't know you. That was the same. There's a deliverance case where Paul just met a young girl. Do you know?
that was just following them, talking rubbish, just thought and said, hey, come out. Those ones couldn't say, who are you? Are you following me, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you see, it's knowledge. And one of the things I'm going to ask you to do after this meeting is that as you go home, you are meant to invest in. There are materials you should sit on. There are teachings you should feed on. For knowledge, there are things you are looking for. For instance, if I teach you faith, if I take you on a teaching on faith as you should, and you understand it, you can go and raise the dead person. So knowledge plays an important role. In fact, what I found out, if there are 100 reasons why believers don't flow in the Holy Spirit, flow in the power of God, knowledge takes about 70%, if not 80. Ignorance is a major tool the devil uses against people. That's why there are many places, the kind of prayers we were praying yesterday, there are many places where they pray those kind of prayers, yet they do nothing. Lord, use me. Lord, we pray those kind of prayers. I love it. But then, what they still don't know. Some of them, by the prayers they've prayed, they've activated so much in them, but they still have no results because they don't know a few things. And I'll share this story with you guys about how some people came to conduct deliverance. Real life story. They were in a circle. The girl they were delivering was, they were about to cast out devil from, was in the middle. And they were just praying. And the girl said, shut up. Real life story. Shut up. All of you want to cast me out. The man was talking. And began to tell them one by one what they've done wrong. You that used to lie. You that. And the demon was correct. Now, I'm talking about knowledge here, man. And you know, those guys knelt down and began to confess their sin. Of them said, the prayer of a sinner is like an abomination. They knelt down. And the girl was laughing. Somebody says, it's because they are sinners. No, it's because they are ignorant. I get to the point. Praise God. Do you realize we don't sin against the devil? We sin against God. So nothing concerns the devil inside. If I have a fallout with my father, it doesn't mean if I tell my servants to get out, he will not get out. Nothing concerns about my relationship with my father. Are you following me? That's why I said knowledge plays a very important role. The next time that I was saying, we are sorry. I am sorry, Lord, sorry. And the girl walked away. Are you following me? You can imagine how far ignorance can take people. And yet, one of the men I grew up on, I grew up listening to, he was positive to Boyle too, shared about how they went for a meeting. He was young. And they had just finished teaching them on power, authority, this one, that one. And then he was going with his friends back home. And they saw a mad person. So he told his friend, let us heal this mad person. The friend said, let's just go. He said, let's heal. He said, they drew closer to pray for the man, and he began to say, in the name of Jesus, you bad, you demon, come out, you know. And the man just laughed. The best thing he said is, people should come and help me beg this man before I kill him. And he was saying, he picked up a stone to break his head. And while he was still there saying, in Jesus' name, drop that stone. Come out in Jesus' name. And the man laughed and told him about three sins he committed in recent times. Accurate. Say, you want to cast me out. You that yesterday, you that. He said, well, the stone was up. Say, his friend had crossed main road, gone to the other side of the road. I was now watching them. People were already drawing closer to see the drama. He said at that point, you know, he must be shameless. He told him, he said at first he was afraid. So when he threw those words at him, he began to come closer with the stone. in a split of seconds, many things went through his mind. He just remembered something they told him in the program. I said, they told the demon, yeah, maybe you are right, but I'm not here in my name. I'm here in the name of my elder brother. Don't tell you what he said. You're not just our elder brother. He's the son of God. We are sons of God too. He made that statement. He said, really, he made it. The first he noticed, the stone dropped. So when the stone dropped, our confidence. He now came on. He said, hey, come out of him. And the guy got healed. Instantly. People had gathered. He began to preach to them. Now, this is, I just told you two different stories. One had knowledge. One, the other group. We are foolish. I feel what I'm saying. And I'm not going to say this against any ministry, but I'm just going to say these things to you. There are people that are peddling some of these wrong teachings all over the world, where people say things like, before you break into power, you must pray in tongues for 300 years, praying for 14 hours every day, or for 6,000 years, all those kind of things. I'm just exaggerating. Those things are not correct. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the place of prayer. Do you understand the point? But those things are not correct. Those things are, you know, one of the things those kind of teachings deny, to start with, is the fact that we already indwelt by the power of God. Are you getting the point? So those teachings that are meant to make people serious takes believers far away. By the time they tell you that before you flow in the power of God, you must pray 4 hours every day for at least 4 years. You already know you are not a candidate. Because for instance, if I study medicine in school, or law, all these serious, because they say you must pray 5 hours every day for 5 years before you ever flow in the power of God. Just for pack up. Focus on your book. Amen. When I heard those things, I wonder, how long did the apostles pray? I just walked with Jesus for a few months and years. I don't know how long, but I know Jesus spent 3.5 years on earth working with them. But I know in the middle of that 3.5 years, he sent them on a mission. Do you remember what I'm saying? And they came back with results. So who calculated the time? Please, it's not correct. It's not correct. Yes, I want you to come to a point where you begin to become part of God. But all those kind of talks. You know, one of the things a pastor mustn't do is to preach from personal experience. You can't do that. I get what I'm saying. You can't do that. You can't preach from personal experience. You can't do that. It was possible. They blew in my head one day that said, that was very fun. He said, I've never fasted for 3 days. I is not planning to do it. He said, I don't fast like you. I don't fast like you. No pastor will do me. I don't fast like you. 3 days. No. He has never. But the man has undeniable miracles. If you forget, let me tell you, when they are dragging people, just go close and look at those people. This man is anointed. Pastor is anointed. I may not be a fan of whatever he preaches, but you see that thing, that fire, he has it. The anointing is real. Go to 5 nights of glory. You will not see where to see it. Dead rising, blind eyes. So, and you tell, I've not fasted 3 days. No, I've never said he likes food. Now, you can also preach from that experience. Let us stick with the truth in the Bible. If the Lord tells you, my spiritual father has a consecration where the Lord told him at a time over a couple of years in his life to wake up every midnight between this time and this time and to pray. He did it for a couple of years. Of course, a lot of things broke open in his life. He cannot preach that as that before you see the power of God, he spoke up by 1:15 a.m. in the morning and pray till 4. I must do it for 4 years. If not, nothing for you. No. Because those kind of thoughts will take you farther away from that power of God. You've not prayed for 6 hours daily for at least 3 years. Forget power. I'll really forget it. I get any point. I really, really forget it.
Spiritual God's word said that he has never prayed. He doesn't pray for 1 hour.
Have you heard him?
He said he doesn't pray for 1 hour. But then there is no 1 hour that will pass and he doesn't pray for at least 15 minutes or so.
That's a consecration right there. Are you following me?
So every hour, he will take like 15 or 20 minutes. And people that went to his house said it was true. He had less astronomical story. See, the first day he came to see it, because what I say, young guy. Said he just opened the door. He was old already. Came in. So he said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's the national daily. He came into the newspaper. He said, no, drop it. It's not allowed inside his house. I'll get to that. He asked, no, that book is allowed in his house, apart from Bible. He said, he came in. He sat down. He said, you know, before he came in, I was just reading this passage of the Bible. Let me read to you. These are the ones you laugh all the time. He read and read and read and read. And after reading some plan, he said, let's just pray. The pace, shabarabadabadaba, after like 15, 20, 30 minutes. He said, wow, you read the next chapter to me. They did that until he left. He said, when he left, he had to tell himself, he said, he left to me, come again. He said, he's coming. No conversation. Let me read to you. You read to me. Let me read to you. You understand? And that man had one of the most anointed. The number of dead people who was raised can form a church. A full church with choir, usher, everything. I'm not joking. It was just like that. They are an illiterate. A plumber. It was a plumber. Before the hand of God came upon him. Just a plumber. Who was even a bad husband to the wife. To beat the wife. Not beat her. But hand used to touch her. But not his serious. And then the Lord began to shape him. I know I'm going to say to some of you, you are not too old for God to start with you. Smith met the Lord in his 40s. Some of us started early. In his 40s. For the first time. But he went on a journey with the Lord. That man was anointed though. A time his wife had an accident, his wife died. And he came back there and raised up from the dead. And the wife said, please, it's time for me to go. He said, you're not going anywhere. He said, please release me. Smith, if you don't release me, I can't go. He begged until Smith said, it's fine, I release you. The woman died. Now, I'm talking to you about powerful people. Say amen. If you don't release me, I cannot. The man had died. He came, woke up. Say, Smith, please release me. I'm tired. The angels are here. Say, you're not going anywhere. They argued after some time. Say, nonsense. You can't go. But he said he said he doesn't pray for 5 hours or whatever. But he prays at least every 15 minutes. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? You can't preach your personal experience. That's why knowledge is very important. If you learn, for instance, how to flow in spiritual gifts, the basic thing is just learn. For some of you that have not read the book, Attention to Spiritual, okay, the book is out of print anyway. But if you can get it, you need to get it. You might need to go back and get all our teachings on flowing in spiritual things, faith, working in miracles, all those things. Pack them. Begin to eat them. Learn them. Learn. Get your Bible. Eat. Love the book of Acts. Love the book of Kings. The story of the prophets. Get other books that will teach you. There are many materials written by sound people on the prophetic, on all. Get those things. Because knowledge is a major factor. And connected to knowledge, I'm going to talk about constant study of the word. Because there are people that have knowledge. They know how faith works. They know about the name of Jesus. But they're no longer reading the Bible. Let me tell you, if you do not have a habit of constantly studying your Bible, you will always suffer power deficiency. Read your Bible. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. When it says let, it means you can allow it. It says when it happens, you'll be able to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you let the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
I've told this one many times. Our robots will tell us anytime he's going for meetings. You hear the name of many men of God in this meeting. Okay? Is that okay? That, I don't know if let's do that, but that's what God said I should do in this meeting. I should just cheer your heart. See, every time he's going for a meeting, it was not our robots. I said it was Kenneth Copeland. Because Kenneth Copeland used to be our robots pilot. He said whenever they're going for a meeting, he will just sit. He doesn't go for this miracle meeting. He doesn't talk to anybody. He will just be reading, particularly the four gospels, the miracles of Jesus. He will read Matthew, Mark, Luke. If it's a 10-hour flight, that's what he'll be doing. He says sometimes he will read those things to a point. They will literally hear. You know, it's not him that told, it's not a robot. If you are told something, we say he's lying. But it's a good plan. Then they will hear his bones cracking under the anointing. Like you will hear. You can look at him and sense that there is a divine influence. You just read it in the Bible. If you eat the word, you see, it will be easy for the power of God that is in you to manifest. Read your Bible. Not to preach. Read your Bible. Recently, I've been on the book of 1 Kings. I've been mentioning the Lord. 1 Kings. Just read your Bible. I remember that it provides answers to everyday life. It's amazing. It's amazing. Every day, read your Bible. Ministers, pastors, believers, every day. And I was telling my wife, I saw a skit on that. I mean, the after I told her that I saw a skit, I can't remember. She said, imagine we treated our Bibles the way we treat our phone. How do you treat your phone? As you are walking on the road. Right? Yeah, on it. As you sit in the toilet. This one related, connected. Sometimes you are washing your hand, yeah. I get what I'm saying. As you are talking with your friends, you are gisting. Ah, Ronaldo, that one is not, you are still on your phone. Imagine we treated our Bibles half as we treated our phone, sorry. Half. Imagine. Imagine you go to the toilet and you form a habit of carrying your Bible. Is it funny? I don't think it is. Newsflash, I read my Bible in the toilet. So why are you talking about toilet here? You all know toilet. I don't see no toilet. Still every moment, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Just read it. Just read it. If you know how much you will do with the power of God, if you can just stay on your Bible. I just thought about Spiritual Gospel. You just come and say, let me read to you. Read to me. Let me read to you. Imagine that. Spiritual Gospel never read newspaper. In fact, he didn't even go to school. I thought he was a plumber. It was the wife that taught him how to read, and the wife taught him how to read Bible. The wife used Bible to teach him how to read. That's the only thing you know how to read. Read no other book but the Bible. He so fell in love with it, he will read. See, this was interesting. And everyone that comes around will tell the same story. You just come, you find him reading the Bible. I said, let me read to you. He has a book called Ever Increasing Faith. You will read that book one of these months. Ever Increasing Faith. I'm trying to show you can actually get to a point where you become a custodian of these things, but then you will not read your Bible. That's why I've been emphasizing you should buy Bible. Because buying a Bible is a mark of serious, it means you have made a decision to read it. So it's on my phone. When last did you read that one on your phone without interrupting with internet and all of this? Stay on the word. 2 hours. Read your Bible. 1 hour. Read your Bible. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Constant study of the word. The fact that you have knowledge of how the name of Jesus works, have knowledge of how faith works, have knowledge of your righteousness, does not replace the fact that I have to read the Bible every day. Do you understand what I'm saying?
every day. Read it. Listen to Christian teachings. Read Christian books. Read your Bible. Just feed your spirit.
Feed your spirit with God's word. Amen.
But I'm doing this teaching because it's not just enough to be shouting, Lord, I want to work with you. I want you to use me. I'm just showing you how. You can't drop your Bible and don't touch it. And you think that somehow you're just going to be powerful. Somehow God will just start using you. No, sir. It doesn't work like that.
Amen.
God's word transmutes life into you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So read your Bible. Read your Bible. Then I'll say one last thing before we go today.
Minimize carnalities. Minimize carnalities. When I mean carnality, I'm not talking about sin in this context. Minimize carnalities. Minimize the time you spend on social media. Minimize the time you spend on football. Minimize the time you spend on politics. Minimize. I follow what I'm talking about. Listen, what you are giving attention to eventually overflow in your life. Minimize those times. Minimize. Spend more time on healthy conversations. Spend more time reading. Feed your spirit. Many of us are too. Can I just talk about you? Because what? You cannot bring newspaper into his house. You can't. Minimize those distractions. Reduce them. I've observed what I'm telling you. If I'm planning for a meeting and I spend less time talking about rubbish, I spend less time cracking jokes, I just spend more time meditating, there will be an overflow. Try what I'm saying to you. You have evangelism. Spend less time on, because you cannot be thinking about, today I'm thinking about brain jotter, tomorrow you're talking about Sabinus, as good as they are, and that's what has occupied your mind, and then you just say, let's cast out devil. I'm not saying the devil will not agree to go. The devil cannot fight you. But then, you do not have that. I get it, the word is not dwelling richly. See, if you will be doubting, because the devil can play. He can play. You can cast me out and say, you are you to cast me out. I've prayed for someone that is demon possessed, and I speak in tongues, and the person looks at me and said, you are talking nonsense. Real life story. Have I told you this story before? They are talking nonsense. I say, shakara, but I say, hey, talking rubbish. Imagine. Devil can play games. That's why you know that's authority in Christ, you know. It's not strong. Because it's not just carnality. Kerataki talks about one man that every time you talk, he said, you guys cannot talk for 30 minutes. I have not told you a joke. He said, let me tell you a joke. Let me tell you another joke. He said, they will go for lunch. And before they are done with lunch, I told him about 10 jokes. So one day he asked Brother Hagin, how do you manage to remember all these scriptures that you quote? So he asked him, how do you manage to remember all these jokes? Are you what I'm saying? It's about what fills your heart. Minimize carnalities. You know, one reason why I feel we are struggling in spiritual for this generation is because, you know, the world is happening so fast. There are more distractions now than we had 30 years ago. Are you aware? How do you go to bed 30 years ago? After gisting with your family, you go lie down. If sleep comes, you sleep. If sleep doesn't come, you pray. But now, how do you go to bed now? After discussing good night, you pick up your phone. Too much distraction. Even in the olden days, have you not observed that the powerful native doctors live far inside the bush where they have less interaction with humans? I get what I'm saying. Now the believer wants to be everywhere. He wants to
crack joke. He wants to go to a party. Why can't we go to a party? Why can't we go to a party? What is there? You guys are too spiritual. He wants to go to a party. He wants to ball. He wants to club. He wants to, and he still wants to finish all those things and say, thou power of God. You don't know what he wants. Move. That's the problem. He wants all of them. He wants everything. It doesn't work like that. Corruptly, I'm not saying shut it up, minimize it. Amen. There is an extreme you shouldn't get. Like now, you get to my house, at least once in a while, you see us watch movies. You know why I adopted watching movies? Well, I find out there is no fun thing, that the only fun thing I adopted from movies is playing game. So I just figured that if I consume my life this way, I will not have anything I'm doing with my family that is fun. It's just we wake up, we pray, shabarabab. And they will say we are going to church. So I say, let's be watching movies. So sometimes I say, let's be. I don't know if you ever watch movies, sometimes I complain from the beginning of the movie to the end. Why is this one? Why is this? Is this how to act? I just complain, we are just there. But some of you, it is discipline you need to stop watching movie. Me, I need discipline to watch it. But you need discipline not to watch. Cut down, oh. I'm telling you, cut down, oh. You are wasting your time, oh. You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time. And I'm saying, you are wasting, especially younger people now. More apps are coming out now that are more engaging. I learned that Facebook is not even as, it's not half as engaging as TikTok is. Abby? I'm not on TikTok. And they say never say never. So let me not say never. But the way I feel now, I'm not. Because it's distracting. Until anything that will take me to those, you have to give me a reason. I was telling my wife recently, I said, very soon I'm leaving Facebook and Instagram, all of these things totally. You will still be there. Someone will be managing the account. Cut down distraction. The Bible says in James 1 verse 21. Give me that verse. James 1 verse 21. It said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness and receive with engrafted word. With meekness, rather, the engrafted word. So some of us want to receive the engrafted word, and yes, we don't lay apart any filthiness or, you know, superfluity. What does it mean of superfluity? It's not a spiritual word. What is superfluity? Abundance. So he's saying lay aside abundance of nothing. He's not saying, of course, you can have some play, but in abundance. Do you know why? I've said it many times. Do you know why every time we have meetings, like 4 days meetings, it's like your spiritual sensitivity is on the rise? Because those 4 days, 7 a.m. you're in church, you stay here till 2, you go back. Before that, a lot of things have dropped. This is the wisdom of God behind fasting and personal retreats. That's why one of the ways you begin to cut down these things is that at least once in a month, let me start this way, at least once in a week you should fast. At least once in a month, you should have a day that you set aside to just start home and spend more time that day reading your Bible and praying, just more time. There should be times. At the time I had to set, not even at the time, there is all the social media apps of my phone have their timers. That's how long I cannot spend on Facebook. When it gets there, the Facebook app will shut down. There are some of it will shut down you. Ignore for today. You must cut down on carnalities, frivolities. You want to flow in the power of God, but you want to flow in every other thing. You want to know all the jokes. You want to know all the news. And brothers, I'm going to say to you, football is not is not antichrist. It's not a demon. There's nothing wrong with watching football. But there must be, you must cut down superfluity of nothingness.
I get the point.
A new season starts. You want to watch all the matches. You want to watch all the matches. I personally think that anybody that watches all the matches, scratch that. If anybody that watches all the matches that their club, this club plays, is a serious human being. Now I know there's nobody, I hope there's nobody like that in this church. Say, I can't miss Arsenal match. Oh, Arsenal. Match you still lose. I can't miss Arsenal match. I can't miss Arsenal match. You have to be in church, say, ah, sir, I'll be a little bit late. Why? I'm having a running stomach. There's no running stomach. Oh. Cut down. Are you following me? Cut down. Because many of us are too distracted for our future. Too distracted for your destiny. You just need everything. Everything. One of the things that helped me when I was in school, when I went to admission, I chose what to be part of. Association of Soccer Students, you will not see me. Let me tell you, I chose what to be part of. I feel I'm saying. Association of Young Men that are going far, you will not see me. School politics, you will not, I'm not saying it's bad, but I chose what to be part of. I'm not saying those things are bad, though, but I made my choice. Because I knew what I wanted to do. You know, when I got married, I told my wife, I said, tell your mother, all this meeting in the, you know, the meeting, you will not be part of it. So she said, I know, I don't want to be part of it. I feel so much, I'm not saying it should not be, I'm not saying it's bad, it's okay, it's fine. But I say, we are not doing. So if I'm planning for program, they say, oh, somebody's grandfather is getting married. And we must show up. Oh. I'm just saying, cut down on the things that distract from where you're going to. Cut down. Because sometimes it is some of these things that take too much from you. Some of these conversations you must always be having. I know some of you are business people, tech enthusiasts, crypto enthusiasts. But listen, if every day, morning till night, I'm talking about man, business, Elon Musk, this one, there is a problem. Cut down on frivolity, sir. Cut down. When we are growing up, when we meet ourselves, we can stand on the road talking about John G. Lake. So you took us what? Do you know what I'm talking about? Till night. Now you leave those meetings, your head is touching. Well, those days, my friend Pastor Casey will come to the house. We will discuss from the house. I will see him up from Tennessee Prince to Barracks Junction. We get there, we'll stand. We're talking about fire. Ha. Did you see that clip? Andres Bisoni, Jesus. We'll do that and do that and do that. So as you are going home, you are praying as you are going home. Because we normally see ourselves up to a point that we always sit at the middle. Because that barrack is not half of his house, so now start going back. But the point is, cut down on all those distractions. Cut down. Even recently, I was just asking myself, I think there are things I still need to reduce in my life. Don't worry, I don't have a boring life. I'm just saying, cut down on certain things. Even in ministry, what did the apostle say? They say we'll give ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word, because the challenging thing at the time was that there was need to share food. They say we can't evolve with this. Because if we want to see some levels of grace flow from you, you must be set apart. You must be consecrated. You can't be in everything. You can't do everything. With what I'm talking about, some of you already know that you're not going anywhere. Because you are not ready to make some sacrifices. You are not ready to pay the price. And the price is not price to possess. Because you already have the power of God. I'm talking about the price of setting yourself apart so that you can be that container that God can use. Let me explain it to you this way. If there is this cup in your house, that everybody is using, regular cup, all these rubber cups, if you respect me and I visit you, you possibly wouldn't serve me with that cup. You possibly go and bring one cup you've not used for a very long time. Say, my pastor's coming to my house. Oh. You get out a special plate. Why won't you use every other pot, every other cup to serve me? Because that is a special person. Be that cup that is not used by every guest. That when God has a special assignment, he knows who to look for. Don't be the person that is in everything. Every nonsense you are there. We are talking about power. You are arguing, why can't I club? Go and club. I'm talking about power. You're saying, it's not just nice about you. It's not like nothing. No, the only thing we do there is truth or death. We don't do truth or death. Nothing else. You want to eat your cake and have it. You belong to everybody. You belong to nobody. You put your hands to the plow, but you look back. So you are not worthy for the price of the call. See, the whole of creation is groaning. They are calling for the songs to show. But the man of honor who doesn't understand surely will die like the beast in the field. That's the point. You just want to be everywhere. You put hands on the plow. Today you are here. Tomorrow you are there. You cannot hit some things like that. Let me say to some of you students, now that you are in school, this is your season. Students, this is my hope. I know you are studying a serious course. Forget that thing. This is your season. Use it well. Use it well. Cut off distractions as much as you can. As much as you can. 10 hours, social media. Every day, this one, you don't even like you have a defined content of social media. He says, I follow you on social media. You follow me. And the little you watch on social media is when I post 1 minute clip. You like it and say, word. If you stumble on my YouTube message that is 1 hour, 30 minutes, I know you know why you will not listen to that one, because it will stop you from using your phone. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It means you will not use your phone for 1 hour, 30 minutes. But we say, I will do audio. So much distraction. Part of the reason why I'm trying to get our media team, we're going to feel, but try to provide a lot of content now, is because we know the world is gravitating towards that place. So let's at least saturate it with healthy content. But it's still your decision to make. The whole, we are preaching against masturbation. We are preaching against some of these addictions. What we do not realize is that we have a bigger addiction under our nose that we have not yet found. That social media is a stronger addiction to masturbation. Are you following me? Go ask that question on Facebook. 5 days without your phone. He said, no. You are broke. You don't have money to come to church, but you always have data. You put your hands to the plow, but you look back. You always have data, but you don't have money to come to church. How come? So I borrowed. Borrow and come to church. Can't you see that your having data is a proof that your priorities are misplaced? Social media came to reveal that we do not pray because we don't have time. It's not because we don't have time that we don't pray. Yes, because there is time. All this, I don't have time to study the Bible. There is time. The number of hours, some people, after they go to bed, they stay up at night, lie down, chatting with every animal. Till 11, 12, 1, 2, you sleep off with your phone on your hand. And you want that when you are done with that, you come out and say, thou power of God. I believe that why some people had so much, this past generation had so much, is because they didn't have much distraction like we have now. The believer who will walk more in the power of God now must deliberately cut off certain things from his life, or at least minimize them. Put away superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity. In other words, give me that James 1:21. In other words, it should not be too much. James 1 verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me like NLT. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Another translation, all the filth and evil. Get rid of uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. What I'm saying is, you must get rid of certain things before your heart can fully open. So you can't be everywhere. Let's not even talk about sin today. Let's not even talk about sin. You are freely living in it, swimming in it. You are here, you're a believer, and you are in a relationship with someone, and you people are having sex normally in your relationship. He said, but we are in love. And you want that after you do all of that, you see a cripple. I'm not saying the cripple will not work. I'm only saying, you know what sin does to you? Sin steals your confidence. Have you observed? It steals your, even when the Spirit of God is telling you, you can do it. The pictures of last night is telling you, if you try it. Sin messes with your confidence. It's something I observe. It steals your confidence. That things you would have, declarations you would have made normally, on a very good day, you can't even make it because you are remembering. Imagine, you know, that's what happened to Samson. He kept going. Imagine you just finished with different men and the Lord said, declare there shall be no rain. With all the knowledge you have, he said, in the name of Jesus, there shall be no rain. You will say it as you are going back and say, which rain? You better run fast for him, beat you, because you have to lay certain things aside. God doesn't need your perfection to use you. That is the truth. God doesn't need your perfection. But the thing is, you cannot. God doesn't matter, but God demands consecration. I've taught you this. God works with separated vessels. Remember, I told you that. Check the temple. The cups they use in drinking wine in the temple. You cannot use it in another place, not even in the king's palace. That was the mistake of Belshazzar. And something appeared on the wall. Mene, mene, teke, pasi. Because he used a cup that was used in the temple to drink wine. God works with things set apart for him. Are you following what I'm saying? And so you must live your life in such a way that let God know, let everybody know that not everything is allowed around this guy. Not every conversation can stand. In your workplace, they can have every conversation around you. Are you even contributing? Any that I see a believer that talking about, oh boy, see that girl with big nash. And you contribute to say, man, oh, bye bye. It means your mouth doesn't have any, it doesn't have any consideration. You can use the F word anyhow. You say, yeah, I'm F telling you. Anyhow. And then you wonder why. Listen to me. Just set yourself apart from some of this rubbish. I said minimize. You cannot shut down. Of course, you have to see movies now. For some of you. After I watch match, I hope you know right. I play game. I used to sometimes remember my PlayStation. I said, this PlayStation has been missing me. Sometimes let me just play it. So I plan my life in a way that sometimes when you come to my house, mostly Sunday evening or Monday, you can possibly miss me playing game. Because I used to tell myself, yourself, be serious. Sometimes just be a human being. One of the men that challenged me a lot was Georgie Lake. Just that I'm saying it because he overdid his own. He lost his family through it. But he was so not into any frivolity in his life that even he couldn't even have a healthy relationship with his family. So they died. When the last one was about to die, all he was saying was, "I wish daddy was here to pray for me." Because he knows the man was anointed. Sometimes he could just pray, come back from a mission trip, as the children are around him saying, "Hey, daddy, you're just gone." From there he sleeps off because he's very tired. Then he wakes up again, he moves again. So they didn't have, so I learned from that. I feel I'm saying, I learned from it. But some of you have not, you don't have to go to that point. Do first. Let's start telling you to calm down. I feel I'm saying, let me not be the one to tell you, you are fasting too much, or you are slow down. Some of you are begging you to fast. I'll say this very close. Anybody that struggles with fasting will possibly struggle with many deadly habits. Let me tell you why. There are many drives that works in human body. That is the sexual drive. That is the hunger drive. That is the sleep drive. If you've not conquered your appetite for food, you can't control it. That whenever you are hungry, unless you eat, nothing else is working. The chances are, people that have that reputation also sleep too much. And what it will also mean is that every other appetite that arises, sexual appetite, they will still not have control over it. That's why fasting has a way of putting your flesh in order. Are you aware? It has a way of telling your flesh that it's not everything you want that you will get. I get what I'm saying. That's why some people don't pray for long. They can't pray for 6 hours, 8 hours. Because if I just, my eye will start turning. You have to learn to tell your body that it is what I want you are going to do. And one of the ways to do it is in fasting. I'll say it again. Anybody that does not have control over his feeding will also not have control over his sleep. Have you observed what I'm saying? That same way, other appetites will begin to creep in. Sometimes you might see the sexual, uncontrolled sexual appetite. Because it's the same flesh you are feeding. Are you what I'm saying? That's why sometimes the Bible talks about men whose belly is their God. What that means is people who their appetite is their God. Anything their appetite wants, they give it. See, even if I want to fast for 3 days, but my eye is turning me, you eat. Train yourself after this meeting. Do 6 to 6. Do 24 hours. Do you know the kind of fasting Dr. Mokwai taught us growing up? Was night fasting. Hey, look, have I done night fasting? Night fasting. He told us you eat till 4 p.m. in the evening. And you don't eat again till the next morning. He said the reason is because when you do that, when you do not eat at night, the chances are you'll be awake. You get sleep when you don't sleep. So you will now be able to stay awake and pray through and study through the night. I did that for months. Are you following me? He fasted all night for, I forgot how many years. So in the morning you eat, 4 p.m. you are done. You know why I like that kind of fasting? It worked for what fasting meant. Because when those days, if I fast in the day, we are fasting, you are in school, you are here, you know, all those kind of things. You never have time to pray or study your Bible. All you know is that when it's 6 o'clock, you look for food and eat. But when you introduce us to that kind of thing, I said, sad nights like this, no food. Sometimes there was no food at all when I was in school, so it worked better. That's why I say school is a good time. Even the hunger is part of the training. The lack is part of the training. So, do you know the thing? There has never been any, thinking about it now, there has never been any semester I finished in school and my foodstuffs finished. Never. Now, it's not divine provision. I don't even eat it. One, I don't even want to cook it. Let's even start from there. I don't want to cook it. But then, I don't need to eat it. So I can only remember end of semester. We don't have plenty of stuff, so just go back to give up. But it will stay. There's one rice that stayed in my house. The rice that changed color. Because nights, we are so important. There was one we fasted, we did 3 days. I think my sister Norma came to our rescue. We did 3 days then in school. Myself, you didn't remember? With my friend. By the time we finished, we didn't even have strength to cook. Coincidentally, by the power of God and divine intervention, she was visiting that period. So she just came and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Can you make it for your brother? I can't see clearly." Bring this, your flesh, under your control. I get what I'm talking about. Bring it under your control. Let him know that he will not get everything it wants. Now he wants to sleep, you sleep. They are preaching now, your flesh wants to sleep, you just start sleeping. Anything it wants, you give it. So who is Lord? Jesus or your flesh? God will help us. And he will use us mightily upon the earth. I'm saying you want to see the power of God, because I found out once a vessel is separated, God loves to work with such people. Yes. Apart from the fact that God wants to, it's even easier for you to receive from the Spirit. It's easier for you to even hear from God. And you know, nature doesn't accommodate vacuum. So if you cut down social media, cut down some conversations, you have so much time in your hand. You not now, instead of doing nothing, you will now start reading your Bible and start praying. Amen. If you want to step up your prayer life, let me give you a regimen. Do you want this? Your most used social media app. Don't open it throughout July. Delete it. Your prayer life. Who has ever tried what I'm saying? Your prayer life will skyrocket. You will be so shocked that you have so much time in your hand that you're not using. I thought you brought that pen to write down the regimen. You put back your pen. Delete it throughout Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So I'm using it for my business. How many times do you even post that business? Never. Okay. You don't even post your business. See, I've been begging you to take your business, to post your business. Now, delete it. Let your prayer life will take shape. By the time you get to sleep at night, you get to your bed, sleep has not come. There is no Facebook, there is no Instagram, there is no WhatsApp. Some of you, WhatsApp is well, for me, WhatsApp is not a distraction to me. I don't even chat with anybody. Amen. Is there anybody that I've chatted with constantly for 10 minutes? Except. But even she is not a chat person. So, there's no. I've never heard the conversation. Except it's special. Okay, there's a problem. You chat me up with trash. Once you are done, if it becomes so much, I say, come and see me in the office. Or I'll give you a time. Call me by 2. Do you understand? I can tell you, I don't see up to 30 people's status. The entire status list. See, if I used to see your status, it says privilege. I don't worry so much. I don't. But the people I've seen there, somebody told me she sees up to 600. Let's not pretend. Am I saying the truth? How many is your own? Huh? 750. It's good. It's actually good for business purposes. So it means your WhatsApp is marketplace. So you can actually monetize it and tell people, I have 2,000 contacts on my list. Pay me 2,000 naira and advertise your product on my status. 2,000 people will see it. That one is not business.
But the problem is that you have 2,000 contacts. You are watching them. You are watching stuff like, Jesus Christ, you are a distraction. A distraction.
Stay focused.
So try what I just said.
Delete your most, at least two of your most used for like this July. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
It is the first thing that will happen to you when you delete it is that you will find out how addicted you have become to it. You'll be so shocked that you are addicted.
Who wants to give it a try? Some people is Twitter.
Give it a try. Your prayer life and possibly other things in your life will start working. Some of you, your relationships will start working. Some of you, some addictions will fall off. I know somebody that told me he began to struggle with masturbation and pornography because on Twitter, he always, you know, Twitter, they can post, there's no, I don't know how the censorship on Twitter works, but I don't think it's, I'm not on Twitter too. As you can do the social media that like is Facebook, Instagram, and that's the fact. So he said every time he goes there, all those images begin to pop, all those videos. So he shut down his Twitter. The matter ended. Are you following me, friends? Take your life much more seriously. You want to see God pass through you. Please cut down carnalities. We are now telling you stop. But what if we send you on mission to a village where there is no network? He said, I can't stay. My clients are calling me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God wants to use us, and He will. So you want to demonstrate the power of God, please set some things aside. And my step by marry, love your Bible. And let that time you spend on social media replace it with Bible. I don't know why I'm talking about social media, but it's not the only thing. Social media, football, movies. I find it hard to believe that people are addicted to movies, but people are. May God help you. So cut down. Some of you, some friends you are hanging out with, I can tell you the hangouts should stop. I've told you this many times. All the men of God you know who are so powerful in this country that you know, all of them we are friends as young people. Yes. Well, okay, we are friends. All of them. So it is almost from the same company that God raised generals in this country. Same company. That is showing you something. That if you just keep mixing with some people, you can't become everything that God wants you to be. So some friendships have to go. And you have to be, sometimes you use wisdom, sometimes you remove wisdom and be direct. Good evening. Sir, don't even be picking my call. Don't be offended. It's just that I don't think we can consider this what we are doing. Everybody's going to be fine. Trust me. At the end of the day, I don't think we can consider this thing we are doing. And don't just do that and then stay on your own. That's not God's plan. When you do that, just get people around. And when you guys come to, and that's why some of you people came close to you because you're a Christian friend. But there is no difference between your Christian friendship and their secular friendship. If we talk about boys, if we talk about everyone, it's still the same thing. And that's why there's a problem. Christian friendship should be Christian friendships. It should be edifying. When we spend time, it should be rich. We'll talk about business and all of that, but then we'll talk about, did you hear what pastor preached today? What are you going to do about that? Man, I was so blessed. Do you know that thing challenged my prayer life? Is even true. I wanted to tell you that I've not been praying very well for the past 3 months. So, mark me, help me. If I let's pray together, I'm thinking of a retreat next week. That's what Christian friendship is.
But that's not your own. So, cut off carnalities. I think I've said everything I have to say. Are you blessed? Tonight we have a good time in the Holy Ghost. But take these instructions I gave you now very seriously. There are always moments of instructions in our meetings like this. Tonight I'll talk about giving my instructions around prayer and some other things. And there are two more things I'm going to tell you at night about if you want to see power explosion in your life and ministry. But this one I told you this one, take it seriously. You see your Bible? You see all these calamities, reduce it, shut it down. Let it be your decision. As I'm talking, pen it down with your notes. Get to your notes, write action point. Reduce this, reduce this, reduce. That's what you do. Because you'll forget it after now. Are you following me? Action point. Because that's how you know you came for a meeting. If you struggle with sleep during programs, every time they start preaching, start sleeping, start fasting more. I'm just telling a very big secret. If your flesh can stay for 3 weeks eating only once a day, and that's at night, it will learn that you are bigger. It will learn some lessons that are bigger than him. That is not everything you want that you're going to get. It happened to me at a time. I was in school, fasted 5 days, which I just. But I found out that once I enter class, I don't even like what they're teaching. So once they start teaching, I start dozing. I said, what's happening to you? At first, it didn't mean anything. I was like, that God is not church. But I began to find out that I was actually no longer able to control when I sleep and when I start. I said, no. I had to fight it. Start fasting. Start praying. Sometimes when you're feeling sleepy at home, decide to read your Bible. If sleep is kind of, stand up in the Bible and read it. Say, I'm going to be reading this Bible until I finish this chapter. And any chapter I don't read and I don't understand it, read, because as long as you're just reading it, go back and start afresh. Until you understand it, don't stop. You know that chapters like that, you don't read it, you just wonder, what did I just do? Praise God. Are we ready? God is just mighty on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. We return by 4 p.m. Okay? Let me announce to you that as of today, the location for Supernatural Hub has been paid for. Glory to God. Yeah, you can shout if you want to shout. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah. It was, you know, I'll tell you, give more details later, but it's been fully paid for, secured. And after this meeting, the building will start. And by Zoe, we will be in the building. So what started like a foolish dream in January is becoming a reality. I'll give you more details. But like as I'm talking to you now, we have a landed property of our own. What it means also is that many of you that are ready for it, you have to get set. Landed properties will come. Some of you are ready for it. But the Lord said to me, once you begin to do this building, begin to tell the people that it will also begin to replicate in their own lives. Landed properties will come. Very soon. I'm going to teach you a few things from this whole thing. But do you observe what we are doing? When did we start speaking over this natural hub? From December. And we preach in our confession every day, every day, every. And to continue like that until we walk into our confession. That's how faith works. We planned that we are going to do it between January and March. It was meant to be first quarter. It didn't work like that. But what do? You keep your confession alive. You know, there was a time I told you we were supposed to pay for one. That one broke down a day before that day. You know, I'll give other details. But we just kept talking. Right? And that one I told you we wanted to pay for, we got it cheaper. This one is even cheaper. Do you understand? I'll give you details. I'll give you figures later. It's not every project we run that I give figures, but for this, for some reason, we're going to give you just some figures so that you will know. Right? The point, you know, the amazing thing is we have not even recovered 30% of the pledges made. That's not a good thing. But the point is that we have the property. Say amen. So God will do much more for us. So phase 2 starts from July. And I'll give more details tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to inaugurate a building committee. Amen. So why would it be the committee? So that I can give myself to the ministry of the word and prayer. So that I will not be running up and down wearing helmet inside sight. Where your spiritual life is suffering. I told you guys on Thursday, many churches begin building projects and they go down from there. Because building projects is demanding. If you're not careful, we're talking about money every day. Every day, so up to grow up. If you're not careful. And if you're not careful, you begin to shut down every meeting, holding. Some men of God even try to advise us that if you want to do this project, you might have to reduce some programs you are doing. The Lord said no. Every program we go normally, and God will give us our building. The blessing of God maketh rich and adds no sorrow. If He's going to add sorrow, it's not the blessing of the Lord. Amen. So it's getting closer and closer. The way we will dance. The day we eventually enter that building. The day we will dance. But I'm telling you, it's going to be totally different. Hallelujah. By our next meetings, we are going to present the building plans. We have done that in this meeting, but then it was actually yesterday evening. That's why we came here late yesterday. I wanted to sign off on that day for Certified. They were signed off yesterday evening. Before we came. Praise God. So, your prayer is not being wasted. Your confession is not wasted. Your giving is not lost. That should encourage you to do more. Amen. So, God is faithful. And you know the purpose for all these things you want to do. Because, okay, let me say, so where is it located? I'll tell you where it's located. It's located... It's not in Independence Lab, but it's in a very good site. A good site for us. It's located around Old UNTH. Why are people happy? Okay. Now, it's actually not hard to locate. Once you get to, yes, that is Old Park, and then just a direct, okay, takes you there. You know, the good thing about it is it gets easier for everybody because of the location. Because of the accessibility from that. You get the point? It's a place you can access. Even if you want to go to Lagos, from Old Park you can go to. It gets easier for everybody. But it gets even better because behind that place, there is like a community there. We could do Mission Tire. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Are you following me? I've started seeing crusades around that place. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, in 1 year, we've shut down that building. Normal thing. You know, right? So it's a big thing for us. I just said, let me give you a tip. Tomorrow, I'm going to say it again. And we're going to have some time to bless God. Don't be in a hurry to pray. And you'll not be in a hurry to give them. So we're going to have quality time. Part of our service tomorrow. We'll kneel down. We'll lie down. We'll hang on the ceiling fan. We're going to thank God. And once this building is over, we'll begin to spread. One more thing. Once this building is over, I'm going to release that same grace. Every center will begin to acquire their own properties. Are you getting the point? And you know, our Lagos center has had venue challenges for a very long time, but they just paid for their own venue yesterday too. Hallelujah. A good place too. Say amen. Amen. So I'm just saying, it is one miracle on the hills of another. Do you remember when we prayed that prayer? So more things are happening. It's getting better and better. Are you excited? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So more details will come tomorrow, and we are all going to be blessed. Thank you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.